This is the Turf Zone Podcast, your central information and news hub, bringing together professionals from turf associations across multiple states to share things to help you and your business. Brought to you in partnership with our friends at the Virginia Turfgrass Council. This episode is sponsored in part by ByeSod, world-class service on demand. Visit us online at www.buysod.com. Now, let's get in the zone.
Welcome to the Turf Zone. In this episode, we feature an article titled, "Why Do Herbicides Sometimes Fail?" by Jeffrey Durr. Pre-emergence and post-emergence herbicides can be effective options for managing troublesome weed species in lawns, landscape beds, and other areas. However, sometimes herbicides do not perform as expected. Listed below are some reasons that herbicides can provide less than desired results. First, I will discuss pre-emergence herbicides and then follow with a separate section on post-emergence herbicides. Pre-emergence herbicides. There are application issues, weed species impacts, as well as environmental ones that can adversely impact weed control with pre-emergence herbicides. Keep the following in mind when developing a program utilizing pre-emergence herbicides. 1. Lack of activation. All pre-emergence herbicides need to be activated by rain, irrigation, or mechanically to move the herbicide into the zone of weed germination in the soil. Annual weeds will predominantly be germinating in the top inch or two of soil. The activation rainfall or irrigation event should occur soon after herbicide application, ideally within a few days. If a pre-emergence herbicide sits on the soil surface for several weeks with no rain or irrigation, it can break down from sunlight, photodecomposition, or volatilize, leave the soil surface as a vapor. This reduces the level of herbicide in the soil such that the rate may be now too low to effectively control weeds when rain finally occurs. This is especially important for herbicides with low water solubility or herbicides that are more volatile, such as trifluralin, treflin, preen garden weed preventer, etc. One ideally would like to irrigate immediately after application for chemicals such as trifluralin or napropamide, devranol, or mechanically incorporated right after application. We would like to have a quarter to a half inch of rain for activation. 2. Excessive rainfall. While we need a rain for activation, excessive rainfall will result in deeper leaching of the herbicide, reducing the level in the top inch of soil where weed seed will predominantly germinate. Higher rainfall levels will also increase microbial activity in the soil, increasing herbicide breakdown. Microbial degradation is an important means of herbicide breakdown in the soil, and microbial growth increases under moist soil and warm temperatures. If we get 10 inches of rain, for example, in April, that crabgrass preventer you put down in March will not last long, resulting in crabgrass germinating during mid to late summer. Number 3. Wrong herbicide. Each pre-emergence herbicide will have a certain spectrum of annual weed species that it will control, while other weed species will not be controlled. One good example would be isoxaben galeri, an herbicide used for pre-emergence control of broadleaf weeds, such as common chickweed, henbit, and prostrate knotweed. However, galeri will not provide acceptable control of crabgrass. If one wants to use galeri, a crabgrass preventer should be added for control of weeds like crabgrass or annual bluegrass. 4. Wrong life cycle. As a general rule, with some exceptions, pre-emergence herbicides control annual weeds, but not established perennial weeds. One good example of this would be comparing controls for crabgrass versus that of Dallas grass. Annual grassy weeds will be controlled by a crabgrass preventer, but established perennials like Dallas grass or Bermuda grass will not be affected. So if a client says that your crabgrass application failed, make sure the problem isn't Dallas grass, which will go dormant brown in the winter, but regrow in spring. If you see a large grassy weed in March or April, it cannot be a summer annual grass like crabgrass. It will take a while for an annual grass that must germinate from seed to reach significant size. 5. Wrong timing. Pre-emergence herbicides generally do not control annual weeds once they have emerged. This is why we need to learn when annual weeds start to germinate so we can time an application a week or two before then. If annual weeds are already emerged at time of application, one often needs to apply a post-emergence herbicide or hand weed those existing plants. If one waits until May to apply prodiamine, barricade, others, established crabgrass will not be controlled. Along the same lines, a crabgrass preventer applied in March will not control annual bluegrass germinating in September. One would need to apply the crabgrass preventer in August for annual bluegrass control since this weed will start to germinate in early September. 6. Long germination period. Pre-emergence herbicides often last around 3 months in soil. If a weed species germinates over a period longer than 3 months, then late season breakthrough can occur. For example, crabgrass in southeastern Virginia can germinate from March through August. This is a period of over 5 months. So, we may see crabgrass emerging in July after the March pre-emergence application has broken down. One way to address this is through the use of split applications, applying part of the use rate in March and applying the rest in May. 7. Application errors. I sometimes am asked how much of a pre-emergence herbicide to mix per gallon. Pre-emergence herbicide rates are based on the amount of area being treated, not on a rate per gallon. The amount of herbicide to add to the spray tank is based on the spray volume. The spray volume applied per unit area depends on nozzle size, pressure, and speed. So if one guesses at how much to mix per gallon, they may be putting out too low or too high a rate, depending on the actual spray volume. Calibrate your sprayer or granule spreader to apply the correct amount of herbicide. 8. Herbicide resistance. Repeated application of the same herbicide or herbicides with the same mode of action can lead to resistance. Resistance refers to a weed species that used to be controlled very effectively but is no longer controlled due to the occurrence of a resistance biotype. One example in Virginia would be the report of oxydiazon, Ronstar, resistant goosegrass. Another example is triazine, resistant annual bluegrass, where biotypes have developed resistance to simazine and atrazine. We saved seed from a triazine-resistant annual bluegrass project from a few years ago and found that biotype is also resistant to amicarbazone, zonarate. Learn the mode of action for herbicides you use and rotate modes of action where possible. 9. Rate too low. We use higher rates on clay soils higher in organic matter and lower rates in sandy soils low in organic matter. A low application rate to a soil high in organic matter can result in considerable absorption, reducing the amount available for weed control. In fact, many pre-emergence herbicides do not provide effective weed control in muck soils, which are high in organic matter, 20% or more organic matter level. 10. Applying an herbicide above mulch rather than applying it before mulching. Some of the herbicide can be tied up on bark particles if applied after mulching. Also, one is dependent on rain to move the herbicide through the mulch layer down to the soil, where weed seed is germinating. Applying the herbicide before mulching places the herbicide closer to the site of weed germination. The mulch will protect the herbicide from photodegradation if spread after herbicide application. Post-emergence herbicides. Post-emergence herbicides are also affected by application issues, species impacts, and environmental conditions. 1. Applications under drought conditions. Weeds do not readily absorb and translocate herbicides when they are under drought stress. Either irrigate several days before an intended application or wait until a few days after a rainfall to ensure that the targeted weed species is actively growing under good soil moisture. 2. Rain too soon after an application. If a shower kicks up 15 minutes after a glyphosate application, for example, much of the herbicide could run off the weed foliage, resulting in poor weed control. Hold off spraying if there is a good chance of rain that day. 3. Applications under cold conditions. Applications when temperatures are cold, especially below 50 degrees Fahrenheit, can result in erratic weed control. Again, weeds do not absorb and translocate herbicide when under stress, including cold temperature stress. Ideal spraying conditions would be temperatures above 60 degrees Fahrenheit with good soil moisture. We have applied certain post-emergence herbicides at air temperatures in the 40s with acceptable weed control, but control takes longer and control can be erratic. 4. Wrong herbicide. For example, applying a post-emergence grass herbicide like fluazifop, Ornamec, Fusilade 2 will not control sedges. So use the term nut's edge when dealing with this sedge species. Using the term nut grass is confusing and could result in someone picking the wrong product to spray. In general, grass herbicides do not control sedges, and sedge herbicides often do not control grasses. Identify the target weed species and then choose the appropriate product. 5. Forgetting to add a surfactant. Certain products require an adjuvant for effective weed control. Reward Diquat is a contact herbicide, and a non-ionic surfactant must be added to spread the spray droplets evenly across the leaf surface of weeds. Check the herbicide label to see if a surfactant crop oil or MSO needs to be added. When spraying overtop ornamentals, especially during summer, we recommend use of a non-ionic surfactant as oils can heat up an herbicide, possibly resulting in some contact burn. 6. Antagonism. Sometimes, when certain pesticides are mixed together, antagonism can result, reducing weed control through effects on absorption and translocation. For example, we have seen reduced grass control when phenoxaprop, Acclaim Extra, is mixed with post-emergence broadleaf herbicides containing 2,4-D like Trimec Classic, 2,4-D plus MCPP, plus dicamba. In this case, these two products should be applied separately, first applying Acclaim Extra and then applying the Trimec Classic a week later. Read the label when considering mixing two or more herbicides together. A small jar test can be done to test for spray tank incompatibility. 7. Incorrect spray volume. A systemic herbicide like glyphosate, Roundup, others, is best applied in low spray volumes, such as 10 to 20 gallons per acre. Thorough coverage of the leaf surface is not required for a systemic herbicide like glyphosate, and uptake seems to improve with more concentrated spray droplets. For a contact herbicide like Diquat, however, higher spray volumes are necessary, especially for taller vegetation, where 100 gallon per acre spray volume may be required for thorough coverage of taller weeds. 8. Water quality issues. Muddy water with suspended clay particles can tie up herbicides like Diquat, rendering the chemical ineffective. A high calcium content is a concern when applying glyphosate, as it can lead to insoluble salts that are not readily absorbed. Addition of ammonium sulfate can help as it will tie up the calcium. A very high pH or a very low pH in the spray can adversely affect herbicide stability. 9. Herbicide resistance. As with pre-emergence herbicides, weed species can also develop resistance to post-emergence herbicides. We have documented annual bluegrass biotypes resistant to the sulfonylurea class of herbicides, which includes Monument, Katana, Certainty, Revolver, and Transit. Another example in Virginia is the occurrence of horseweed resistant to glyphosate. To help prevent the development of herbicide resistance, rotate herbicides with different modes of action, combine herbicides with different modes of action, utilize both pre-emergence and post-emergence herbicides, and use non-chemical measures where practical. 10. Wrong timing. Dimension, dithiapyr, will control one or two leaf crabgrass, but will not provide acceptable control of well-tillered crabgrass. Drive, quinclorac is more effective on young crabgrass plants in spring compared to multi-tillered plants in summer. 11. Wrong rate. We learned this with our evaluation of pinozidin, manuscript, where the spot treatment rates were much more effective than the broadcast rates. Read the label to determine the optimum rate for the target weed. Identify the major weed species at each site you maintain and develop a plan to address those problems. Scout in the spring to identify winter weeds when they are in flower and thus easier to identify, and scout in late summer to identify summer weeds when they are in bloom. These two time periods may not be the optimum time for control, but will guide future management plans. Consider soil and weather conditions when scheduling herbicide treatments. If herbicide resistance is expected, let us know as we like to confirm resistance. Jeffrey Durr is a professor of weed science based at Virginia Tech's Hampton Roads Ag Research and Extension Center in Virginia Beach. For all resources associated with this article, check out our show notes. Don't miss an episode. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also visit us at theturfzone.com.
You've been listening to The Turf Zone. Thank you to our sponsors, including BuySod, world-class service on demand. Visit us online at www.buysod.com. For more episodes of The Turf Zone, visit theturfzone.com and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app.